Hey, 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 listeners, welcome back. And to those of you tuning in for the first time, welcome to the Life with Irenia podcast. I am super excited that you are here with me today. You are in for a treat because this week's episode is absolutely amazing. I'm delighted to be beaming in all the way from LA, Miss Janine Ledford, a fellow podcaster, an author, a trainer, an intercultural creativity keynote speaker, among many other hats that she wears. She is the founder and chief creative officer of Cafe Strategies, which trains C-suite executives and employees to create sustainable organizational equity and inclusion strategies while unleashing their innovative thinking for themselves as well as in their businesses. Her Seven Gems of Intercultural Creativity is a leading framework that encourages corporations in their diversity and inclusion development while developing critical cognitive tools for creative thinking. Listeners, in this episode, we talked about, you know, the importance of building intercultural competence to make deeper connections in our lives, shifting perspectives, you know, being self-aware, being curious about others to build creative thinking in our everyday lives. I absolutely enjoyed this conversation with Janine, and I'm sure that you're going to love it too because she dropped so many golden nuggets, so many gems, that you are simply going to really be thinking about things a little bit differently. One of the things I loved about what she said, you know, is that your time is now. While you're physically here, now is your time to be creative and leave the human race with something great. And of course, creativity is not solely artistry. And I'm going to leave you to this, because as you listen to this episode, I wish that gives you a boost, the energy and ideas you need to kickstart your big pivot in your career, in your entrepreneurial and life journey. In this podcast, you will realize we're much more than just business. Your self-care is important to us, so be sure to take it all in and adapt as it fits your lifestyle. Now let's get into this episode. Welcome, Janine.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm super excited to have you here. Having heard you speak, I know that you're going to drop so many golden nuggets to our listeners here today. So looking forward to our conversation.
Same here. And I don't drop golden nuggets. I drop gems. That's what we call them where we're from. Gems.
All right. I can deal with gems. So let's get our listeners acquainted with you. You know, how did Janine become the woman that she is today?
Well, I started my career in elementary ed, actually, and I just love to teach. I taught third grade, and then I did the artistic music creative, you know, programs at my school. And then I ended up starting a nonprofit for 6 through 12 of my graduates of my elementary school, and then ended up doing a college as well, all at the same time. So in 1 week, I had a four-year-old all the way to a 64-year-old and everyone in between in the same week. And so it really gave me an interesting perspective to do what I am today, which is intercultural creativity development for corporations, startups, women in tech, and the like.
Absolutely fantastic. So from a very early age, you have a service mindset, I would say.
Yes. I just love seeing the spark come alive in people where they're like, what? I can do that? Or wow. And that's really what creativity is all about, really seeing those new ideas that you can produce and give value and contribute to the workforce.
I love it. I love that you mentioned the word spark. You know, in your life, I'm sure you've had people who've touched you along the way, who've made a positive blessing into your life. Can you think of one person who was pivotal in your career journey?
Well, I think I have the answer that a lot of people have. And what I say about intercultural creativity, people see me on the stage, the platform, the training circuit doing this, but I say my mother is actually the inventor of intercultural creativity because it's all about culture, right? Businesses are talking about how do you produce a culture of creativity, but she knew how to produce a culture of creativity within the home. So we had four kids. She knew the importance of having us take risks, you know, and having us get out into new experiences. The number one indicator of a highly creative thinker is your openness to new experiences. And the number one indicator of a highly intercultural competent person is your openness to people who have different lived experiences. So she embedded that in our childhood earlier on. We also had the arts, and she just really had us doing fun, crazy things that really pushed us out of our comfort zone. So she's the inventor of intercultural creativity.
Well, kudos to your mom for being, you know, the center, you know, the person who propelled you along your journey. That is awesome. You know, as a mom myself, I'm just super excited to hear this.
Yeah, there's being an educator now, being a mom of a three-year-old, there's so much that we could be better aware of how we're cultivating the identity, the creative identity of our children that will play out in their adulthood. I mean, so many adults today that are dealing with identity issues that they got in their formative years, 0 to 12, which are your most important years, that are embedding them or that's stopping them from being their full creative selves in their adulthood. So eventually I will be writing a book to like parents and teachers on how to better support the creative development of your children.
All right, I love it. And talking about books, you are an author. So let's hear more about your book.
Well, the first book, you would think it would have nothing to do with creativity. It was my own personal journey of dealing with financial illiteracy. So, you know, and how we push our kids through this school system and there's basically no financial literacy at all. And so I was 30 years old, $100,000 in debt, didn't even know how credit cards worked. And I was just like, wait, I have a UCLA degree and I don't know this basic information. This wasn't a mishap of the curriculum. I felt an injustice. So I learned as much as I could. And then my husband and I, we got out of debt and we paid off that last bill, right? It's on YouTube, by the way, us paying our last bill off, if you just search my name in debt-free. But then I said, I have to share this so other people don't, you know, deal with what I had to deal with. So I put everything in a book, but I also added in the psychology aspect of psychology of money and the behavior of money. And once again, the culture of money that you grow up into, you know, what did you see as a child? How is that affecting you today? And lastly, I have a chapter called Creativity. Your creative health affects your financial wealth. And I want people to understand that your ability to think creatively, to think of new ideas and know how to bring them to the marketplace, that affects your financial wealth as well. And so I just bring it all together in that book. And then the second book I'm coming out it's called The Seven Gems. And that's why I say I drop gems, right? The seven gems of intercultural creativity, how to connect, create, and innovate across cultural lines.
I love it. So let's talk intercultural creativity. How would you define this for our listeners who are hearing it for the first time?
Yes, and hopefully not for the last. My goal is to bring this title and this concept to the world because it's time. The idea that has met its time. It's basically a creative act, right? Creativity is all about combining, you know, unobvious associations. And it's intercultural competence, which is your ability to be self-aware, to be other-aware, aware of others, and to be able to see complexity with people from different cultures. And when I say cultures, I don't just mean ethnic or national cultures. A culture is just a group of people with the same set of you know, systems, values, and beliefs. You can have a soccer mom culture. In fact, women in tech, that's a culture. Like, there's just things that we just do, we just know, right? And so someone who's highly intercultural competent, they are able to adjust their behavior depending on which cultural group they're in. They're able to see patterns and complexities within different cultural groups and make connections and be the bridge. And what people don't understand that this is a developmental concept. If you can get better at being interculturally competent. And on the other side, with my work in creativity, I noticed that number one, half the people don't even know what the definition is. We think to be creative, you have to be artistic. So you have millions of people walking around thinking they're not creative because they can't sing or dance or draw. I hear it so like, oh, Janine, yeah. I'm not creative. I can't sing. I draw stick figures. I'm like, no. I have my background in psychology. So if you keep saying I'm not creative, guess what's going on in the brain? The brain shuts down on any type of creativity skills because you keep telling your subconscious that you're not creative. So I'm redefining the term creativity. I'm saying that it's the process of problem finding and problem solving with relevance, value, and novelty. Your ability to think of those new ideas, which is so critical for women in tech because technology is advancing, you know, faster than we've ever seen. We need people who can use their imagination and see what no one else sees. So I realize intercultural competence and creativity actually sit upon the same cognitive skills. And that's the seven gems. And that's why I love gems. It's because in order to build a culture of creativity where your people can think creatively, there has to be inclusiveness. There has to be good, you know, diversity and inclusion work and belongingness to support the creative thinking of your people. And so we train them together. My company, my work, my books, everything that I'm producing shows people how to train both of those skills side by side.
Awesome. Beta Bridge. I love yes. it.
I mean, and I can go through the seven gems if you need me to, which I would love to explain, you know, what are those yes. cognitive skills that we yes. need to work on?
Absolutely.
And they can find the PDF on my website as well, which we'll go over at the end of the show. But the seven gems of intercultural creativity, the first one is, I call it the creative growth mindset. And that's based off of the work of Carol Dweck, you know, the growth mindset work.
Yes.
Fixed mindset, growth mindset. And to grow in your creativity and to grow in your intercultural competence, you have to know that you can grow, you can develop this. Some people think like, oh, I either am or I'm not. But knowing that you can, it's a skill, which means you can develop it, is key. And the next one, and feel free to jump in if you have anything to say about any of the gems. The next one I call the empathetic way. And you know, the word empathy has been gaining some steam within the past decade in the business world. As an educator, we already knew it was important for learning, but in the business world, you guys are just now catching on, right? And to, like I said before, the number one indicator of a highly creative person is your ability to have openness to experiences and to be open to new people and open to new ways of seeing things. So we look at your biases in this gym. We look at just prejudices, you know, things that can hold you back and limit you from making those connections. Being empathetic is key for your intercultural creative growth.
A lot of time we hear people talk about, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? Until you're exposed to it.
And that's true, but a lot of people may cut themselves off even from being exposed to it just because of unconscious bias. So there's a lot of work to be done there. The third gem is cultural observation. And when you think of observation, first of all, people just think it's just seeing things. The word observation comes from the Latin and it means to attend to, right? What are you paying attention to? And as humans, we're already at a deficit. There's things we can't see. You know, the visual spectrum is this large upon all the waves, you know, all the electric waves we can't see that are all around us. Mm-hmm. And there's also things we can't hear. You know, there's pitches that animals can hear that we can't. So we're already at a deficit, but we're dulling our senses even more with, you know, some of the technology that is kind of harming this area. So in this gym, we train people to reopen their senses, to pay attention to their environment in a whole new way. Because if creativity is about connecting the unconnected, if you're not taking in any data to connect, that's going to stump you. And then we transfer that to cultural observation. Are you aware of people, their cultural tendencies, how they flow and ebb and how it compares to how you flow and ebb within your culture? So observation is key.
I love it. This is food for thought for me. You're dropping some big gems here. No pun intended.
And your next gem is cultural curiosity. This one is huge, and this one is a surprise. Curious George, a curious little monkey. I don't know if you ever saw that
Yes,
growing up.
yes, yes.
Yeah, but the trait that this little monkey had of getting into everything and wondering what things are about, CEOs need this trait. Your leadership teams need this trait. Women in tech is now dependent upon this trait that this little monkey had running around that we laughed at. Here's the thing. If creativity drives innovation, curiosity drives creativity. Huge. In fact, on my podcast, I'll be interviewing a doctor from USC, and her whole dissertation is on the value of creativity and of curiosity in business and what that looks like. And so your ability to grow your curiosity, because it's a developmental skill, you were born with it. If we could just get back to the curiosity levels we had when we were three, we would be good. But now we have to redevelop the skill and redevelop the art of questioning and redevelop the ability to observe and to be curious about what we're interacting with.
Awesome.
Well,
I love it. I love that, you talk about curiosity driving innovation, which drives creativity. I really like your purview of that concept. And this is going to be really good. I think it's a good element, for individuals in the tech space or whatever industry that, individuals are in. I think that's an industry agnostic concept in terms of, leveling the playing field for everyone to be empowered, to be creative, to contribute to the organization process, whatever that may be, and at whatever level that one is, right?
yeah, and here's the kicker. Curiosity can be construed as tough because of ego, right? And you need to be vulnerable to say, hey, I'm curious. I don't know this information. I need to go seek out this information. And so when you're in a position of leadership, the ego can get in the way of you fully developing this skill. And so that's why self-awareness work is key. We do a lot of work on self-awareness and situational humility. That is a big developmental part of our leadership going forward in this next era because the curiosity skill has to be strengthened.
I love it. I love that you talked about also being self-aware, like knowing who you are as an individual and being open to various concepts and new ideas is so important, especially right now in the 21st century. It's a game changer for any business, right? To be able to explore the varied perspectives, in working on a multitude of different projects. So coming back to curiosity and curious George, oh my goodness, I love that linkage that
And plus, then I get to sing, so it's fun, right?
you did. Yeah, awesome.
I love to sing, and that leads us into our next gem, which I call perspective shifting, a kaleidoscope view. I actually sat down with Dr. Michael Platt, who is the top neuroscientist in the nation, in my opinion. He wrote a great book I think people should check out called The Leader's Brain. And what he talked about is the critical skill of shifting perspective. And once again, all of these gems kind of sit on the gems beforehand. So in order to shift perspective, you have to have a creative growth mindset. You have to be open, right? You have to be observant and you have to be curious in order to want to shift perspective. So this is key in intercultural development. How do you shift perspective to other people who may have lived different experiences than you? Normally, we think about the importance of this when we're creating products and technology for clients, but shifting perspectives for your employees, for your peers, even in your family. Do you have that ability, that skill to shift perspective? And self-awareness is key because it's very difficult to shift perspective if you don't know where you're shifting perspective from. You have to have that home base. So you know, as an African-American female, you know, who is college educated and, you know, just all of my demographics going on, I need to take time to be self-aware of what is it like being me in my shoes. And then I can shift perspective to say, okay, well, I wonder what it's like. I can be curious and I can walk a mile in their shoes because I've taken the time to walk a mile and really think about my own shoes.
You know, I love how you break down perspective shifting and, you know, how it all builds, as you mentioned, on the various layers of the GEM concept that you've established. And so let's get to the next GEM. I'm curious.
Yes, yes. From perspective shifting, we have authentic adaptation. And I'm key about the word authentic. You know, after we talk about the GEMs, I'll talk about the diversity diamond because I'm all about the diamonds. That's our metaphor here. But to being authentic and going back to self-awareness, knowing who you are. But now, especially, oh my goodness, especially because we're in an even more global network, society, network, workforce, you have to be able to adapt. There's two types of adaption that I focused on. Crisis adaption, what everyone went through in 2020. How do you adapt to new, to crisis, but also cultural adaptation. And I'll focus on the ethnic part now. Like if I'm an American, and especially culturally American, I'm in an African-American culture, but I go to Japan to do business work, I need to culturally adapt to that situation, to that environment. And you see now how it rests on the other GEMs. I need to be aware. I need to be observant. I need to be curious. I need to be able to detect patterns, look at power structure, look at just different ways that the order is laid out. And so for me to adapt my behavior is key. And I say authentic adaption because I still know who I am. I know my core values. I'm not going to violate those, but I know how to adapt and shift in different cultural situations.
That's excellent. I love how you broke down that construct. And not many people are able to see patterns in life. So hopefully, you know, this is going to crystallize it for them. So listeners, you definitely want to hit that rewind button and re-listen to this concept again.
Yes, yes, yes. And someone who has really worked on their intercultural creativity development has reached our last GEM. And once again, these GEMs aren't all like just in line. Of course, you go back and you continue to work on observation skills and curiosity and go back and forth. But your goal is to get to the last GEM, which is being a bridge and being able to create and innovate across cultural lines. And the reason why I say bridges, because if you think of war, one of the first tactics you do in war against your enemy is you destroy their bridges. Because bridges are those connectors which gets resources across, right, mm-hmm. to different entities. And in this case, you don't want to destroy the bridges. You want to build bridges and be a bridge. You want to be that person that can connect multiple cultural groups together. And so there's different skills that this sits on. In addition to the GEM skills, you have to be able to have variable communication. And like I said in my example of me having a four-year-old and a 64-year-old as my student within the same work, the same week, I have to be able to adapt and vary my communications. I'm not gonna talk, you know, the same way to a four-year-old that I am to a 64-year-old. So being able to adapt, being able to just be sensitive to the transformation of ideas. And so to be a highly creative person, you have to be able to transform ideas and to be able to communicate ideas. Because what's an idea that's stuck in your head if you can't get it out? Or no one understands what you're talking about, right? And so these skills, you know, this isn't your JavaScript. This is your hard tech skills. These are your intercultural creative skills that our women in tech and the other people in tech need to start thinking about. Because once you have your amazing technology, how are you going to get it across cultural lines to build even better things?
Be the bridge. You hear that, listeners? Creativity, you know, and being innovative across cultural lines. So you create and innovate across cultural lines, as Janine mentioned. You know, Janine, let's drive this home. Break this down for me with an example.
Sure. So with the clients that I work with, they a lot of the times we're around a lot of the same type of thinkers than us, as tech folks stick together, right? And to really break that, we need to really just reach out outside of our fields. The book, The Medici Effect, talks about how innovation is at the intersection between fields, disciplines, and culture. So I advise my clients to look, you can look in your friend sphere, and of course LinkedIn is a great way, but this is definitely before COVID happened and we were able to really meet face to face. But bringing in someone from a different field when you are in your ideation phase or you're in your beta phase, and someone who can communicate, but they really don't have a full understanding of what it is you do, but that will really get your and this is it's funny when it happens because people are talking different languages and then they really need to work on that skill and they start making that connection. And then the person from the outside field really says, well, here's what I've dealt with in this area. Have you thought about this? And so that really breaks compartmentalized thinking that we normally do. So I've had clients, yeah, just invite people from other fields to almost just pitch to them to help them hash out some of the blind spots. And that's the thing is we have these blind spots. Another example that I had with one client was he was in finance, and his job was to look at businesses and see where there was money just disappearing, just not being used efficiently. And we do a lot of metaphorical work in our training. I believe metaphors and analogies are key creative skill to help people see what they may have been missing before and to see parallel connections. And I basically said, it's kind of like you're a plumber, right? You're a plumber for people's businesses. And to be able to use that metaphor now when he communicates his idea, right? Because communication is key. He's able to tap into the emotional reservoir that people are already situated with the whole plumbing field, right? And to deal with that, and he can manipulate, what that process is like to bring a plumber into your home and to not do it and have to deal with mold, so he can leverage all of those emotional cues already in, but now attach it to what he does. So because you don't like mold in your home, trust me, mold in your business isn't as fun either. So this is what we do. So when people in tech really want to fine-tune their ability to get their ideas across and to be able to adapt in different cultures and be that bridge, utilizing these creative thinking skills, such as metaphorical thinking and the other ones that I mentioned are key.
I can totally relate. Coming from a business background and joining the Women Tech Makers Group last year, it was like entering into tech speak, and I'm like trying to play catch up. And it's so funny. After 12 months, I think I've adjusted, in the different ways that, we work together. So I can relate to that. The technical field has its own jargon, its own way of doing things, its own processes, so to speak, as opposed to when you come from traditional industry, outside of tech, so to speak. So it's cool that, you have developed this, methodology that, a lot of people are going to benefit from. Awesome, Janine.
Well, it's amazing. And I mean, the last point that I really want to make is connected to the concept of the diversity diamond. Like I said, my logo is the diamond. So I believe everyone should shine bright in whatever they're doing. But if you look at a diamond, there's multiple facets there, correct? And I liken the facets to all of our demographics and the talents and the quirks that make us us. And for some of us, we've gone through a system that's really been conforming. You all standardize to this way of thinking. And now, because of the pandemic, because of technology, and just the shift in the workplace needs, we need everyone to tap into the uniqueness of them, the onlyness of them, as Nilufer Merchant from the Harvard Business Review calls it. And so for us to really get into that self-awareness and to start to uncover the onlyness of us will be key because we do need everyone to shine bright.
There is only one you. That's what I'm getting out of that. I love it. You know, and I love that, you know, you have your diamond as a logo in terms of everybody shining bright, because I think as individuals, we really need to shatter whatever barrier that's within us and light that fire within us to really contribute, you know, our creativity to the human race, whether that is through tech in developing new technologies, new apps, new processes that can really help to streamline business. And as well as individuals in whatever industry we are in, we need to shine, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And stop hiding different parts of us that we've been, may have been, you know, ashamed of, or we think demographically they aren't seen as well valued. It's, we have to do that shift within ourselves. And of course we need to do the work on the grander scale, but it has to be done within ourselves as well. You know, for me, I grew up with a speech impediment. I had a special education student, and there's times that I couldn't even say my name, and I was very ashamed of that. And I held my creative ideas within inside me, didn't share, didn't speak, until I realized, wait, this could be seen as a superpower to share and to practice. Of course, you hear it now. I've done a lot of, I did the work, you know, and worked on speaking, but to share that part of me that, hey, I struggled with this. And now I'm on global stages sharing this. If I can do it, you can do it. It may not be a speech impediment. It may be something else, but don't let society silence you, because we need your voice. We need your shine. We need you.
Big gems again here, listeners.
You're so funny.
Well, you said it so good. I can't speak over this because it's so good. I love it. Yes. All right. So I know that, you know, we could go on and on talking. So let's just get our listeners, you know, a little bit more acquainted with you on the personal side, Janine. You know, what do you do to put a pep in your step and a pride in your stride every day?
I love that question, and I love your rhyme. Thank you for that. Like I said earlier, people think that creativity is only artistry, but it's so much more. But at the same time, I'm a huge advocate for the arts, and I am a huge karaoke singer. I love karaoke. And when I say huge, like my three siblings and I, we have a whole Ike and Tina Turner, like Rolling on the River act. And I am Tina Turner, of course.
Of course.
I mean, we've like on cruise ships and stuff, we just do our show for fun, of course. We're not like employed by them, but I love the arts because it brings out so many of these gems. And I'm an advocate for the arts. And I say, creativity isn't solely artistry, but artistry can definitely develop your creative skills in areas that aren't seen as, you know, creative per se. And every area is creative. But if you're an entrepreneur, if you're in tech, if you're in cryptocurrency, you know, if whatever field you're in, having an arts background can only develop those skills. It causes you to see, it helps you detect patterns, because music, right? It's all about patterns, mm-hmm. patterns of sound. Art, painting is all about seeing. Some of your best inventors, right? Your best tech inventors had a strong arts background, and that was not by accident.
I love it. I'm an advocate of the liberal arts myself in general.
and here's that word, the liberal arts. They make you free to think, to imagine, to create. The liberal arts. And I just caught that right now with the way you said it. I was like, huh, liberal, right? Liberty. There you go.
Yeah. And, you know, with regards to, I know you love Tina Turner already, so I was going to ask you about your high vibe music that you jive to. So apart from Tina Turner, who else, you know, gives you that energy and that boost?
Yeah, this might be an interesting one, but I'm going to say Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. His third one's great, called the Heroic Symphony, and that one's a powerful one, but his ninth one, Ode to Joy, right? It was paired with that poem. I just feel like I could fly after I see it. And I loved his story, and I taught it to my students when they were there. But Beethoven's Ninth Symphony with the choir, and it just builds you up to sing your song to the world. And that is my go-to. You think it would be like, oh, Beyonce. And I'm like, oh, Beethoven.
Well, I love it.
Music is one of the few things that activates the entire brain at the same time. So that's why we learn our ABCs by singing, because when you do attach anything to music, good things or bad things, right? Because you can have bad lyrics and it'll totally hit your subconscious. Anything you attach to music gets coded at a deeper level. That's why you're able to retrieve a song that you haven't heard in 20 years, because of the music and coding that took place. So if your tech people are looking to change the world with their imagination, sing a song about it, write a song about it, compose. There you go.
Right. Awesome. So we could go on and on, Janine. So you alluded to your PDF earlier in our discussion. Let's talk a little bit about that and how my listeners can have access to it.
Sure. I have the PDF of the 7 Gems of Intercultural Creativity, the gems that I just reviewed now. I also have the PDF of the 16 Diamond Tools of Highly Creative Thinkers. You'll see a little bit of overlap, but there's some other diamond tools in there. That is on my website. My company is called cafestrategies.com with 2 Fs. And it's CAFFE strategies.com. And CAFE stands for Creative Advancement for Financial Empowerment. Just about how it's all, you know, connected. And I just would love for your listeners to go sign up for the newsletter. We don't spam you. We just send out one or two newsletters a month, but you'll just get small little gems about how to improve your ability in intercultural creativity.
All right, you heard it, listeners. I'm going to drop it in the show notes. So head over and connect with Janine.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed my time here.
You are so welcome. So with everything that we talked about, if there is one last word of wisdom you want to give to our listeners, what would it be? Especially right now in 2021, given what we've been through.
Sure. Your time is now. Quickly, when I think about Maya Angelou and her passing, I wasn't sad because she is an example of a life well lived. She left everything on the table. And you have to ask yourself, is she really gone? Because her books are here, her work is here, her videos are here. She's still teaching, even though physically she's not here. And so I want to extend that to your listeners, that while you are physically here, here is your time to be creative, to connect with people with different lived experiences than you, and to leave us with something that even when you are gone physically, you're still here.
All right. Awesome. I love it. And you, as a fellow podcaster, tell our listeners how they can listen to your podcast as well.
Sure. My podcast is Create and Grow Rich. It is on Apple's and the Cafe Strategies website. And what I do is I bring in entrepreneurs and thought leaders, and I have them tell their story, but I highlight the diamond tools and the 7 gems throughout their story, so people can be more aware that creativity isn't just for the select few, that creative thinking shows up all throughout your life. You just may not have been aware of it. So you hear from, you know, top neuroscientists about brain and creativity, top thought leaders. It's a fun show.
All right, listeners. So here's another podcast for you to elevate your mind and grow and become the person who you are meant to be. So with that, I just want to say thank you so much once again, Janine, for taking the time out to spend with me here. I thoroughly enjoyed our discussion, and I wish you the best with the rollout of the new book and also all of the great contributions that you're going to be making to the human race.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here. You are amazing, just a diamond within yourself. So keep shining bright.
All right, awesome.
This interview was conducted remotely in my mom's home studio.
Listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or head over to Spotify and hit that notification button, or wherever you listen, be sure to subscribe to this podcast for free. Those of you who are on Amazon Music, you can most definitely listen hands-free on your Alexa, so be sure to tune in. We love our avid fans, and we most definitely want you to know first when new episodes become available. Listeners, as we continue to build the Live with Irenia community, be sure to stay in touch with us. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by following the Live with Irenia podcast. As well, email us at info@livewithirenia@gmail.com to get your full transcript of our episodes. If you love reading blogs, head over to www.ireniarussell.org to get our latest blog golden nuggets. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This interview was conducted remotely in my home studio. Listeners, I hope you find your new vibes in this new supernormal in 2021. I'm your host, Irenia Roussel.